Today it is VE Day. The war is
the
over.
The newly crowned queen waves from the balcony.
Eagle has landed. Apollo 11 has
tearing down the Berlin Wall.
Since 1929, the Monks Investment Trust's mission has been to help investors grow their wealth. We aim to do this today by taking a three-dimensional approach to growth. Cyclical growth, rapid growth, and steady growth.
The World Wide Web.
Wall Street is in turmoil as stocks crash.
The Monks Investment Trust, managed by Bailey Gifford. Capital at risk.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to The Advice Show. I'm Zach, a reporter at New Model Advisor. I'm joined today by senior reporter Victoria Bell. And today we're talking about women in financial planning and how we can do more to change the industry. Vicky and I are joined by Leslie McIntosh, founder of Independent Women, a national IFA that specializes in wealth management for women. Leslie, thank you so much for coming onto the podcast. My first question is around the state of the industry. You know, according to the FCA, just 16% of UK advisors are women. And of course, most of those are in mid-level or junior positions. How should the profession address this?
It's an interesting point, actually, because when I first joined the industry in 1993, there was only 4% of women actually that were IFAs. So we have advanced, but perhaps not to the stage that we would have liked to, and got some gender parity by now. But I think now we're starting to see more organisations being aware of women in the workplace, how we can be a kind of stronger alliance effectively if women are involved at not necessarily board level, but just, you know, being part of a team. So there are much more awareness now coming through, which is good, because I think that will start to see more women joining the industry, because it's such an amazing career effectively for women to do as well.
Leslie, can I ask you, so as you said, you set up in the 90s, didn't you? You set up an all-female advice firm. I mean, what kind of reception did you get?
Mixed, I think it was fair to say. There was a lot of, this is an interesting take on, you know, why independent women, why not independent men? And absolutely. But I think then there was a lot of movement effectively throughout the 90s, a lot of women breaking through the glass ceiling, you know, not enough women effectively being on boards. And I think when I decided effectively to start the business, it was because I had such a passion for allowing women to, you know, to be themselves, to come to an organization, to feel empowered, to be able to express themselves, but to have some financial awareness. And that's truly where my bold but purposeful role came from, really.
Yeah. What does your client base actually look like? What's the segment? What's your main segment?
A real blend. We do have a lot of women, probably in the kind of 40 to 50 age bracket.
Yeah.
We also have a lot of women that I've dealt with since I started the business, which, well, is now 26 years. Wow. So there's a lot of women at the time, they were quite young themselves and coming to me thinking, well, how do you know about life? Because you're young as well. But, you know, between us, we got to a point of actually, with my professional awareness, my passion effectively to make sure that you achieve what you want to achieve out of your goals, we've kind of got there together. So a lot of my clients now are either in retirement or post-retirement. And I'm just so blessed that I've been able to do that journey with them.
Of course. Can I ask you, so on your website, it talks about, you know, looking at financial advice through the female lens. How does that differ from, you know, traditional financial advice? How do you look at advice through that female lens?
We don't necessarily embark on a journey with our clients on the basis of, I want a pension or I want an ISA, which is what traditionally most people seek advice for, because they have a particular specific product in mind that they want to encompass within their financial planning, or they have a particular goal. Whereas we tend to say, I don't really want to say to you, this is what you need to do. I prefer to find out what you want. So let's listen to your journey. Let's listen to what you want to achieve. And then we'll blend and create a financial plan around you.
Can I ask you, so would there be a lot of sort of divorced women, or what kind of women do you see coming through your firm?
Again, a mixture.
Okay.
Sadly, we're in that state now that basically women do go through it. I've gone through it myself years ago. So I do have a natural empathy towards, you know, it's an emotional journey for people, both men and women, I used to add. But it's a tricky position for people to find themselves in. And if you haven't had a lot of financial experience, then it's a double whammy effectively. It's even more powerful effectively that you need to seek advice from somebody who not necessarily understands because they've gone through it themselves,
yeah,
but understands that they can take the emotion out of the situation and actually drive a result for you. So we do tend to find that naturally, I think empathetically, a lot of women come to us in that position.
Yeah, of course. Sorry, Zach, go on.
I think that's a great point, and I'm sure we'll relate to a lot of clients will relate to that, both women and men. I wanted to ask a question, Leslie, just about just looking across the industry really, and sort of going back to that 16% figure, and I just wanted to ask you why you think that across the industry, what you think firms can be doing better really, particularly larger firms who sort of do have the resources to employ more women in their sectors, what you think they can be doing more to attract women into financial advice and to retain them as well.
Well, from my own perspective, obviously being part of Mazars, which I'm sure we'll touch on, you know, later on, they have an amazing graduate program. And what we do effectively is we have an intake of grads, you know, every September. And it's amazing to see that over the last couple of years, there's definitely been a gender shift as well. So a really nice blend of graduates that have come through our program this year. But I mean, that's really working for us because it's an intense program. You can come in at different stages from kind of year one through to year four. 4 years that is a long time to be committed to something, particularly when you've gone through further education, you've come out with, you know, further education, and you've been wanting to kind of find yourself and know what you want to do. So that's really worked for us because what we've then got is we've then trained people effectively as to how to be the best at what they can be, but it's allowing them to tap into different areas within our business as well. So it doesn't necessarily have to, you don't necessarily have to be a planner at the end of it, but it does allow you to have that rounded approach to financial planning.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask you, so what kind of, so say for example, if a graduate, did you say that it's a graduate scheme through Mazars or through Independent
Yes.
Women? Through Mazars. So how does it, so do the women go to your firm then, or is it, how does it work?
Either or effectively.
Right.
They join the graduate program because they want to effectively potentially be a financial planner.
Yeah.
And at the end of that, then if they are women and they do have a natural affinity towards the brand, then yes, absolutely. But we tend to find that our planners effectively can wear two hats.
Yeah.
So you can be a planner within Mazars, and you can also obviously be a planner within Independent Women as well.
Yeah, of course. One thing I'm curious about. So say, for example, if you have a lady who has a son, I mean, you know, how does it work when will you do give advice to whole families, or how does that work?
Yes, we do. So although the business started in 93 and primarily at that stage, I had had a previous career, or I was in a job effectively at that time. And because of the demographics of the client bank that I had at that particular time, there was a lot of women within it. So I had a natural affiliation to women anyway. Mm. And I just could see that that's the way that the shape of the future. I could see that much more women were coming to us because they wanted to have the ability to understand their finances a lot better. So that's really where it came from. So although it was born from that, we've now obviously evolved. You know, lots of changes obviously have happened in people's lives throughout the last 30 years. Yeah. And now it's very much a case of it isn't just for women, by women. It's really for all now.
Yeah. Oh, I see. So you will see men as well, or
absolutely.
Just the... Right. Okay. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah,
yes. Okay.
Absolutely. So our client bank effectively is not exclusively women. We have lovely men as clients as well. And that's just because either, you know, a woman has come to me and said, do you mind if I bring my husband along or my partner? I'm like, absolutely not. So naturally, our client bank effectively has evolved because of that. And as you now see, intergenerational planning is key for our future, to make sure that children are then aware of wealth that their parents have created and how they can then extend on that throughout their own family as well.
That's really interesting. Thank you. And you know, you mentioned before as well that specifically for women, you know, there are experiences that perhaps a lot of people working for your firm can relate to. A lot of issues, a lot of things to tackle are specifically for women that you have a greater experience of. Could you elaborate on what those kind of things might be that perhaps the traditional financial advisor maybe doesn't pay so much attention to?
Well, here's an interesting topic for you. Menopause. That is something that is just becoming really, everyone's becoming really aware of it now. It was a real taboo subject. And, you know, I certainly don't want to be an expert in that area. But, you know, it's something that people think, how do I tackle this? You know, if you're having brain fog, if you're having an off day, you know, to come in and have a conversation with a woman who completely understands what you're going through, it is very much aligned to what everybody now suffers. And it's just something that people have not really recognised up until now. So it's great when you have menopause month and so on, and you can see that, you know, people are now having to really adapt to lots of things that are thrown at us now, both men and women.
Do you offer menopause leave at your firm?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, how does it work? How much leave can you take?
I mean, from an inclusion and diversity aspect, when we have an immensely amazing department, a wellbeing department, basically within the business, and you know, each individual effectively is coached and nurtured through whatever it is that they're going through. So there isn't any definitive time scales. It's more, tell us what you need and we'll be there for you.
It is, and it's so important as well to attract women into the profession, is to have these things available for them.
Absolutely. It's, you know, it's like, you know, women returning to work. I mean, I've got two wonderful children, and both of who I've had minimal maternity leave with them, and I hope as they continue to grow into superb adults, they will not turn around and go, well, I was really disadvantaged because you took weeks off to go back to work. But you know, as a woman, you can now, you know, you can adapt that into the workplace now. It is such a really flexible role, because you can fit around your clients. So I mean, you can do this job part-time. You don't necessarily have to be in 9 to 5 to do the job. You can, whenever clients need to see you, you can work around your family and your lifestyle as well. So it's great to encourage women into this industry.
Of course. I wanted to ask you, so with financial advisors, how important is it that you engage with the partner of the person that you're advising?
We want to always give that opportunity to people.
Yeah.
Saying that, a lot of women do come to us with a very clear directive, which is, I'm married or I have a partner and we have joint finances. However, I want to keep this very much for me. I want to have a much deeper understanding of my own financial plan. I want to be able to accommodate what I want to do effectively in the future. But ultimately, when my husband and I, or my partner and I, get to retirement, if we have two pots, it's certainly better than one. So it's more just creating independent control effectively of your financial plan, so that you have a greater understanding of what you have, what you want to achieve, and how we're going to get you there.
Have you seen any attitudes? You know, I believe it's listed on your website that Independent Women is the oldest all female IFA. You've been around a long time. I wondered if you've seen attitudes from clients changing towards their finances. I'm thinking particularly of, you know, married clients, and in terms of, you know, who looks after whose finances, in terms of a sense of responsibility over joint finances. I'm wondering if you've seen any attitude shift there.
It is changing, but it's slow. It is really quite slow, but we are definitely breaking the barriers down. We're seeing much more women now coming towards, we want to take control of our life, and therefore if you do that, then obviously you're in control of your finances as well. So, but yeah, it's definitely slow.
Can I ask you how is it that you engage with female clients? What's the, like, how do you attract females to come and get advice?
We have a lot of client referrals.
Yeah, okay.
We're really lucky that because of the number of years, I guess, that we've been in business, and the fantastic job, obviously, that we do for clients, we do get a lot of self-referrals, which is amazing, because that means that, well, that makes me feel really proud, because I know then that we've done a good job for our existing clients. We also, you know, do have a great website. We do have, we're building on our social media presence and everything now as well. So we're building on that momentum now, just to really get the message out there that we're there. And if people obviously do want to have an initial consultation with us, they can do that, no problem.
Of course. Can I also ask you, you work under the parent company Mazars. I mean, how is that? Is that a good fit for you or for the firm?
For both of us, yes, yeah. Most definitely. I really wanted to find a good fit, a place that our values were aligned, that clients would obviously then have a rounded approach to their financial planning. So from an initial client coming through to us, we have the financial planning aspect, but we can also now offer the whole holistic plan, which would be tax planning as well, from my tax colleagues in Mazars. So yeah. Really what you've got is you've got a client coming in and they get everything.
What do you mean by that?
So if a client comes to you for financial planning, we can obviously offer that. But if you're needing any tax planning done as well, my colleagues within Mazars can then help out with the tax planning aspect.
So according to the Pulse survey by Schroders, it's predicted that 65% of the wealth in the UK will be in the hands of women by 2025. Mm-hmm. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised at that stat at all. We can definitely see, you know, generational wealth building now for women. You know, much more privately owned businesses are run by women, female entrepreneurs. Wealth that's cascading down from their parents effectively. So we do now see a lot more tactile investing effectively from women as well. They are very keen on sustainable and ethical investing as well, really, yeah. Really, really focused on making sure that any wealth that they create is then cascaded down to their family, but invested in a good way.
Do you see a lot more all-female advice firms emerging?
I hope not. No. Yeah, I do actually. I do see more and more people thinking, actually, with, you know, women at the helm, good things happen. But we definitely do need a blend. You know, I'm very proud of everything that we've done over the years that we've done it, but I do definitely think that you're a stronger alliance together if men are and women share entrepreneurial ideas. I do think that a business can be stronger if you've got both genders and both being able to be instrumental in business development and growth.
And Vicky mentioned, thank you, Leslie, and Vicky mentioned there before as well about the amount of wealth that and shortly in the future will be in the hands of women, right? 65%. And of course, the advice industry needs to reflect that and cater to that. I was wondering what your thoughts were about the immediate future of women in financial advice. How do you see those numbers that you know, 16% figure we were talking about earlier, how do you see that changing? What can we expect from financial planning in the near future?
We've got to create opportunities for women, but they then need to be in an environment that they can thrive, that then transcends down into clients, into the team. So we kind of really need to lead it from the top down. It's got to come from the organisations themselves. They need to have a strategic plan as to how they can incorporate and balance more gender parity, how we can include women in the workforce, why we want to include them, what the business is trying to achieve from that. So it's got to be built into the longer term strategy within the firm, and then they then need to incorporate how they can do that to attract the right level of women.
What do you think? I mean, do you think the problem is more that women might not be attracted to the role of a financial advisor, and why do you think that is, and how can we change that perception?
I think a lot of women don't really realise how to do it, how to tackle it. I mean, I didn't, you know, if I'm honest, I didn't wake up sort of one morning when I was 18 and think this is the job for me. It was something that I fell into, to be honest. I did decide, you know, through my mid-20s, because I was a young mum and I was very much wanting to prove to myself that I could do this role, and I also wanted to be there for my son and make sure that I could then provide for his future. And I really just stumbled upon an opportunity, to be honest. And that then grew Four years later to thinking, I actually want to do this for myself. So it was a big, strange, bold move on the 24th of December 1992 when I fell off that cliff. But interestingly, and I was sharing this story with somebody the other day, that I turned it off to my bank manager and I said, I've got an idea, I want to set up a business. It's all about women. It's to empower women to take, you know, control of their finances. I'm looking for, you know, minimal funding effectively, because I was 25. I said, I really want to try and get this off the ground. I think it would be an amazing idea. And at that point, he said to me, but your husband's got a great job. Why would you want to do that? Why don't you just stay at home and look after him? And I thought, oh, my goodness. Okay. And that's effectively where Independent Women was born from.
You've been listening to The Advice Show with myself and senior reporter Victoria Bell. Today, we were joined by Leslie McIntosh, founder of national advice business Independent Women. For any questions, please feel free to tweet us at New Model Advisor or email us at nmateam@citywire.co.uk. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
But today is VE Day. The boys
the newly crowned queen waves from the Belt.
Eagle has landed. Apollo 11 has landed.
Tearing down the Berlin Wall.
Since 1929. The Monks Investment Trust's mission has been to help investors grow their wealth. We aim to do this today by taking a three-dimensional approach to growth. Cyclical growth, rapid growth, and steady growth.
The World Wide Web.
Wall Street is in turmoil as stocks crash.
The Monks Investment Trust, managed by Baillie Gifford. Capital at risk.